Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over. It's
over. Here's a chance. That goal. Shot rebound. Scores.
Don't ever want to get loose tonight. Throw a hand in the air. Feel all right. You don't care if you stand because the music is tight. Let me hear you say yeah. We can do this right. Come on. Cook, cook, cook. Baby, come on. Cook, cook, cook. Baby, come on. Cook, cook, cook. Baby, come on.
Candle.
Makes you clutch it just a little bit.
Yeah. Rob's having some denial issues here.
No, it's absolutely no denial.
There's tingles. There's things going on. This is Talk and Sports.
Gives me urges in my areas. No, not.
I have needs.
Yeah, not the same at all, man.
All right. How's it going?
Matt?
Yeah.
It's top notch. What about you? How are you doing over there?
I'm suffering a little.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Suffering from a good time?
Well, the remnants of a good time.
Well, that's always what it is.
For sure.
Evening Matt does not care about morning Matt.
No.
Morning Matt hates evening Matt.
Yeah.
That's usually
you know what I've found lately? Evening Matt never leaves enough chips for next day Matt. Evening Matt goes, that's about half a bag. That's enough for tonight. We'll leave the rest for tomorrow Matt. And tomorrow Matt has to go. This is not half a fucking bag.
This is a 65-35 split for sure. And it's just a small enough amount to go, I want more.
Right.
Right? So. You're left licking your fingers and trying to sponge up any of the little seasoning at the bottom of the bag. Am I right?
Well, you're one of those guys who does the big bag tip at the end.
Oh, for sure.
I've never been that guy.
Okay.
Getting in my eyes and shit.
See, you got to hold the bottom corner of the bag and the part that you're going to put against your mouth, and you got to pull them out.
Okay.
Pull them out and then tip it up.
So on the show today, we are trying something we had back in December when our pal Andy Nita was here.
Oh, dear. And had too much of it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, there was some of that going around. This is the Percy Mapleton Porter. And it's hefty. It's high on the AAV. Nope, that's contract value in the NHL. It is high on the alcohol content. What is the short form
ABV.
For that? ABV, not AAV.
Yeah, here. Average annual
value, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is it what you remember?
It is.
Yeah.
And now it's hard. I like it. And the first pull is good. And it's a higher in alcohol, right?
Yep.
Last night, I took down some Innocent Gun Vanishing Point Imperial Stout. It's
been a while since you mentioned the old Innocent Gun on here.
11.2%.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just so, one, then.
Yeah. Well, and I split it, actually.
Okay. It's a good call.
Yeah, but I took it.
With tomorrow, Rob.
Yeah. No. I honestly started cooking after that, and so it made whatever I ate taste delicious.
It always does, man.
For sure. But 11%, and the problem, and it's the same problem here with the Percy Mapleton,
mm-hmm.
is you don't taste the alcohol.
No.
It's not like the old days when you'd have whatever and it just, you go, tastes like photocopier fluid in my beer. Right? Whereas this just tastes like...
It's good beer.
Porter goodness.
Yeah. This is going to get me in trouble.
And same with the Innocent Gun. It has a nice little creamy head. It's got a coffee sort of a flavor to it.
Right.
And you go, what? It actually has that, and anybody who drinks coffee knows, and you're not one of those.
That's true.
The coffee smells gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always taste like it smells.
And I love the smell of coffee.
For sure. Whereas this had a creamy sort of head without the nitrogen. So it is just.
Yeah.
But it tastes like coffee smells a bit.
Okay.
I'm Anyways,
by
it's,
that a
it's
little.
Dark, comes out, looks like. Mud and motor oil.
I know. You're losing me.
I know, but really, it's not. And you put that in you take a cup of it. Like, yeah. You don't want to take down a pint of that. Like, the pint of that's going to send you reeling for the rest of your evening. So, you know, a half bottle. I probably drank 2/3 of the bottle.
Yeah.
Delicious.
I spent last night at the Canadian Tire Center. Watching
part of the Blue Horde,
Leafs and Sens. That's right, one of the Blue Whores. When was the last
time? There was a D in mine, but that's okay.
Sorry. Yeah. When was the last time you went to CTC for a game?
Beginning of January.
Oh, okay. So it's not been long.
Yeah, like last month.
Yeah, okay.
I was there to see Tampa.
What did you think of the intermission DJ?
I liked him.
Oh, no.
DJ Prosper?
I don't know his name.
Yeah, DJ Prosper, man.
To knock off Lil Jon.
Yeah.
The thing that he's got. He's just remixing old tunes and then yelling the lyrics over top of them.
Like, see,
more than a few. More than.
I told you about this, right? Stop. I told you I needed a hype man here. And so.
It's awful.
For those of you who, I liked it. Now, okay. I was there early in the new year. And so they were doing, he spent the first intermission doing like little snippets of tunes of the decade.
Right.
2011.
Okay.
Right. And he's dropping these tunes. And so to me, yeah, I'm up and I'm like, yeah, I'm digging it, man. Seriously. Now the second intermission, people gravitate to that section and it gets full and people are dancing. To me, it's good.
Is he over on the Molson Canadian Fan Deck? Or
yes. Where,
yeah. Okay.
Yes. And so it's in the second intermission, he was playing more tunes that I didn't know.
Right.
And it became yeah, like more current stuff,
yeah.
Right? And it's sort of, it loses me, you know, like I need more Black Eyed Peas, you know, I got a feeling or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. More of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's.
I was not. If you're not following us on Instagram at Tall Can Audio, you should be. We went live at the game during both intermissions just to talk to. Some of our listeners, people who may be around, and this guy's just screaming in the background. Screaming is overstating it, but he's not good. I didn't care for as you said. I don't know that the first intermission had a theme, but it was more recognizable. Whereas the second intermission was like a nightclub kind of vibe, current stuff.
And it's darker in the arena.
Yes.
Yep.
Just wasn't feeling it, man.
See,
I do applaud them for trying something different. But we've talked here on this show before that I used to really like going to games. I liked the vibe of the in-house entertainment way better in Ottawa than I ever have in Toronto. Toronto is the whitest nightclub you've ever seen is what they're shooting for in the last 3 or 4 years. They redid their whole game ops operation, and it's just brutal.
Yeah,
it's all kind of that new techno shit with the exception of they're going to play Sweet Caroline, which is annoying. They're going to play 50 Mission Cap, which is fine at a Leaf game, and everything else. And at the end of the game, they have their victory song. They're the slapshot theme that you're like, that's fine. But the rest of it,
it's all right.
Exactly, man.
Yeah,
it is all right.
Yeah.
Sure it is. So I was sick of it. And when you'd come to Ottawa, there was a lot more rock. Like it felt more like a hockey rink than a. You know, it had its share of pop, but that's fine. But this was just rubbing me hard the wrong way.
Well, clearly with the Huge being based right there in Toronto.
He was in the house last night.
Yeah, for sure he was. And loving whatever is Toronto is what he wants to be. So
maybe.
So clearly that is how that goes.
Well, he's got half our defense corps and so.
And if you look at it, I don't mind if it's sort of, if you recognizable stuff for the whole crowd, because you aren't getting just your younger crowd.
That's what I'm saying.
So you need to sort of play to something that everybody knows.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to just be old man, you know, I need
classic rock.
I need to hear my Eddie Money.
Sure. That's what I was.
Or how about for you, Matt, your Eddie Rabbit. I love a rainy night. I know that's coming up in the house.
No doubt, man.
Yeah,
come on. No doubt.
You're loving that, I know, in Lindsay, Coburg, wherever it is.
We neglected to talk about the game in the green room knowing we were going to do the show. I thought it was entertaining while I was in the building. You said you didn't find it so. Was it just...
I found the first period to be very entertaining.
Okay.
I found the second period to be dominated by the Leafs and...
That's entertaining for some of us.
Yep. No, I totally get it. And this is... Like, Ottawa had long stretches of good pressure.
Yes, they did.
They have no finish. And the guys who, there is no top-end finishers there.
Right.
Right? Like, you look at the guys who are going to be around, your Bathursons, your Tkachuks,
Man, I watched Batherson maybe late second. I can't remember. Go step for step with Matthews all the way back into his own end and just stay on him, take him away, out of the play. Like, just really solid, right?
Yeah,
like,
see, he, to me, he projects out, and I'm going to put my scouting hat on because that's what I do in my spare time.
Sure.
He's going to be a top six winger.
Right.
No problems. But he's not going to be – he's going to be a 20-goal guy and a 40-assist guy. Like, he's got – right now, he's got a sweet NHL dish. Right. That's what he's got going for him. He can finish.
Right.
He can, but it's not going to be his calling card.
Yeah.
Tkachuk is going to be a 25-goal guy, maybe a 30-goal guy, but he's got a, he's not busting it off the wing and sniping. He's blue paint, crashing, banging. Like, he's not an elite finisher either. So there is no, when you're Tyler Ennis's and your Duclair's and Nemesnikov's, these kinds of guys, if those are your finishers,
all three could be dealt in the next
when we're good, when this team is good, if it becomes good, because it's still a crapshoot.
Sure.
You'll look back at last night's game and go, oh, yeah, good game, 4-2 Leafs. And you look and go, oh, Cody Goluboff Anisimov or whoever it was, the other guy. You're like, okay, those are guys who are going to be, I forgot that guy even played here.
Right. Well,
those are what's going to happen. So no finishers in Toronto can be sleepy, as we talked about the last time they played 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Toronto can be sleepy and turn it on, and they have the elite level finishers.
Yeah, to get enough, you know, to get it through a team like Ottawa at the end. And it is interesting, though, that you reference that, like, for Sens fans who want to be optimistic, that last year before the Leafs drafted Matthews, that's exactly what we talked. They were a hardworking group. They stayed with it. But it was P.A. Parenteau and Brad Boys. And you're like, holy fuck, remember that guy? Like, and you look back now, and that's only 4 years ago. But then you get, they had Nylander already. He's a Marley. They had Marner already. He's still in London, and they're just waiting on drafting on Matthews. So, you know, are there parallels there in terms of, you know, you've got some good guys down on the farm. You've got Brännström and Chabot already, you know, on the defensive side, which is more than the Leafs had, obviously. And now do you get to grab a Lafreniere or a Byfield and start to turn that corner, right? Like, the, what you just described there was exactly what the Leafs 15-16 season was.
Welcome to your Bozak and Van Riemsdyk years.
Yeah. Love Bozy.
But see, watching that game, it's a combo of things. It was, for large stretches, both teams were just a wreck in the neutral zone.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, it was sloppy.
Turning pucks over, like, both ways.
Yes.
A Toronto is able to better manufacture points or quality chances off of it because the skill level is higher.
Well, that 1-0 goal for Matthews was just kind of a cluster, and then all of a sudden, like, it turned over quick, and he's just in, and it's there it is, right?
It's, like, it's Zaitsev and Riley getting their feet tangled together at the blue line. You're like, fuck, are you kidding me?
I was enjoying that. But there was a tweet that DJ Smith had said before the game that, complimenting Zaitsev, which he's going to do. He's going to talk. Yeah, he'll see the ice every single time Matthews is on there.
Because, like, he's got,
bang, goal.
Because he's got elite feet, is what he said, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And because I had said to you in the afternoon, you're like, oh, the Leafs showing some respect. They're going to play their better goalie tonight, Campbell. And I'm like, yeah, I don't give a damn about the goalie. What are the chances we can keep Matthews off the score sheet for a second consecutive game? And then, yeah, you send that tweet back, and then sure enough, yeah, the first goal of the game is, burr.
Yeah. Well, and you've been giving Matthew shit for only scoring at home, which I also pointed out. He'll be fine here.
Yeah, it's
another
a
home game. So.
Yeah. Well, and he's got 42 goals now.
Yeah.
No joking.
It's evened out for sure on the.
And so I've given the guy
from
before he got drafted.
Yeah.
He's just a good player.
Yep.
Now, to me, I still have those same issues, and I didn't see him so much last night, right, in terms of those issues. And not really even since Sheldon Keefe has taken over, right? But to me, he's still just a pout away from shit going south.
His two-way game is rounding out nicely, as you would expect, kind of 4 years into the... He's still not like an elite Jonathan Toews stopper or whatever, but he's way better getting into his own end.
Well, and he's killer on the offensive draws.
Yes,
like,
for sure.
It just seemed to me like, and I don't know what the final stats were, but it seemed like he was pulling two out of three of those back.
Yeah, yeah. No, Leafs are a top five face-off team with him and Tavares. So.
Well, and Spez.
And Spez, for sure.
Is it just me or is Spez playing 20 minutes a game?
Spez has been great. I wanted to bring him up on one of the last shows, and we just ran out of time. And Keefe's been doing this sort of thing a lot since he took over, just little nods to his guys here and there, with all that was made out of, you know, opening night.
Yeah, shithead Babcock.
Not giving Spezza the, you know, gave him the healthy scratch for a cent. So here we are, Toronto's first game in Ottawa this year, and so Spez is in the starting lineup, which is
he also started Spez against Ottawa in Toronto.
Right. So, you know, little things like that, I think, probably go a long way in your locker room, right? And really, what do they hurt? Like, why wouldn't you?
Right.
So that was kind of cool. And he continues to be, right now, maybe the one thing that most Leafs and Sens fans, at least that I talk to online, have in common. Like, Sens fans are still like, I don't want to see Toronto win a cup or anything, but I'm glad to see Spets doing well still, yeah. Right? Like,
well, we did talk about this. I think we did.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah. As I rub my face and rub the microphone at the same time. Is he was a good guy, and people who sort of not drummed him out of town, but certainly he was glad to leave here.
Right.
Right. And in terms of a guy who was at times you know, anywhere between a 70 and a 90 point guy
mm-hmm.
here in Ottawa. And people just think, oh, he turns the puck over at the blue line and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yeah, but people, 80 point centers, they're not just falling off.
No, exactly.
You're like, oh, number one center, it's a given. No, it's not. Nope. And we haven't had one since.
Right.
Like, literally, there has
Turris
not been.
Turris was pretty good. Duchesne yeah, was pretty good, but they weren't Spezza in terms of production.
This is exactly right. And you go, so at one point, you could have maybe had, you know, if you kept, Zibanejad came through here.
Yeah.
Now he's gone.
Yeah.
Right? Traded him out. And so we just haven't had a number one center like him.
Right.
A couple of good 1Bs, yeah. I think.
Sure.
Duchesne probably a little better than Turris.
Okay, yeah.
But, yeah, so to me, Spez was a guy who, you know, he never said anything malicious. He never pissed on the city when he left. He just took his lumps and left. And now I'm happy to see him do well, which is, I think, is what you're referring
yeah,
to.
Yeah,
right?
For that, sure.
That everyone, the Leaf fans are happy for this found money
yep.
at 900 grand.
700.
And 700.
Even better.
And you even saying, you know, hey, I'd sign him again.
I would do that again in a heartbeat. If he wants to, he's shown enough this year that he's still got something in the tank. If he wants to come back, it's going to have to be at similar money, but,
yeah, but
he's
think,
obviously expecting that,
well,
right?
Well, I think he's made enough money.
For sure. So
it's not a concern that if he could come back, and they're going to come up short this year, but if you could do something better and take it on. Take another run at it next year.
Yeah. No, I'd be happy to see that too. And so I think that's fine. I don't remember if it was on the show or out in the kitchen or whatever. I was comparing him to Jeff Skinner. And they're basically going point for point with each other at this point in terms of their totals. One Oof. Guy's on a $71 million contract. The other guy's on a $700,000 contract.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, to me, the Skinner thing is he had, 41 goals last year? Over 40,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, nicely timed. Contract year.
You got to give that guy some money.
Yep.
You don't have to give him 8 years or 7 years, whatever it was. That's a bad idea.
For sure.
And so.
Man, Buffalo again, just. It's coming apart.
Imploding.
Yeah.
Hugely.
Last thing then I wanted to mention and.
Last thing on the show.
On the game.
Are we done here?
We can be.
I don't know.
This Percy Mapleton's just yeah. fired right through.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's not what we meant, but here we are. I found the split in terms of Leaf fans, Sens fans to be probably similar to the last time that I went. I don't know how it came through on TV, but I did find
the same as the St. Patrick's Day last year.
I found the split to be similar, but the noise to be way different. Like just in terms of what you're seeing in the concourse and walking up, or whatever. Man, there was just blue everywhere.
Yeah,
but it didn't feel as loud. And I mean, last time we got our dick slapped on St. Patrick's Day, the last
slap
time I was
dick.
In the
yeah. It's a repetitive thing here, but don't
right.
let somebody else slap it.
Exactly. And I think it was Cody Ceci lighting up Garrett Sparks to like 5 minutes into the first period, and it was all downhill from there. And
Sparky.
Yeah. And now Cease is ours too. That's awesome.
Yeah. Although I see he's
off to Robita Island.
Yeah.
You're never going to see that guy again.
That he's on. Now it's, is it long term?
Say it's about a month, and then
they're
just
expecting he and Ryan
about
back
him.
At the same time. Am I right?
I expect one of those guys back. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah. Long term anyway. It just felt a little different, and I know St. Patrick's Day is a different vibe. People get extra liquored, but this is Leafs Sens on a Saturday, and so you still have plenty of time to get so liquored if you'd like. I don't know if that was a thing or not. The Toronto goals just didn't seem as loud as...
They did not. That first goal, like, that was the same. You could hear, to me, in the chants, the, you know, go Leafs,
yep.
go Sens, go.
Yep.
Right? They always sort of muddle out.
Yeah. For sure.
You don't ever really, you hear what you hear because you're yelling it in your own head, but.
Of course.
What comes through on the TV.
Man, ain't that the truth here or there?
It's just muddled, right? In terms of, which is how you really know that it's even.
Yeah.
Because nothing is coming through.
Right.
But yeah, on the first goal, the Matthews goal, I would have expected a larger cheer.
Yeah. Well, it happened so fast too. Like I said, they did turn, but even as they went later and when Marner scored to ice it and whatever, like it just didn't feel quite the same. So I'm not really sure what that was about. It made for a really cool vibe in the building, as it always does. Couple of passionate fan bases and, you know, the Sens have had a hard year and Sens fans have been through a lot. But I think you probably get up a little more, not even so much for the rivalry anymore, but just to shout down the guy in blue beside you, right? Yeah. So you're almost fired up a little more just to take him out, right?
Well, see, like, if I go to that game, yeah, I'm matching it. I'm trying to do my best.
Yeah.
But I'm also, as a Senators fan, I'm expecting a loss, but I'm hoping to take a bite out of a little leaf ass,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
In terms of like they did to Arizona the two nights before.
Right.
Vital points for these teams. And it's the one thing that DJ Smith said that really resonates with me is, yeah, we're not in the playoffs. We're not in contention.
Mm-hmm.
But we have teams that are rolling in here every night.
Yeah.
Right? This is a great opportunity for us to take a bite out of somebody else's chances.
Right. And yeah.
So
try and match somebody here.
It's free. It's free, the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You step up and say, all right, I get to do this. Right. And so I think that's a key cog
for sure
in the learning experience.
I do agree with that. And for the fan base, you know, I know a lot of Sens fans try to stay away when the Leafs come in. I think the ones that were there are doing their best, right, on been a hard year.
Yeah, and people talk about that and how, oh, all these Leaf fans show up. I don't begrudge a Leaf fan for showing up. That, to me, if you don't want it, buy the ticket.
Yeah. Because you said to me
before,
whatever about, you know, lying in Eugene's pockets or whatever. I can tell you one thing. Leaf fans are fine with that.
Yeah.
If we can keep that guy in power, we're happy to help.
For sure. For sure. And the thing is, I don't say that as, yeah, well, good. Just keep paying.
Yeah.
It's better for us. Because the reality is, I'd rather there be 15,000 people in the arena and have 12 of them be Senators fans.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So I don't care about the other thing. But, yeah, the Senators look out and they go, all right, I see a blue dollar signs.
Yep.
Right? That's what I see.
Sure.
And no, if Sens fans don't like it,
there is a solution.
Buy the tickets, get season's tickets.
Yeah.
Control it. Don't be a douchebag season ticket holder who sells his seats off because.
Thanks to the one that did for me last night.
Well, and this is what some of them say there, right? They're like, well, I buy them and then I flip them at a premium and it helps pay for my tickets.
Yeah.
All right. That's totally your prerogative in this free system, but.
Well, and I told you, you know, before we started, it's the same thing for me every time. In the weeks leading up, the prices are sky high as so many season ticket holders and whatever are doing exactly that. I'm going to gouge a Leaf fan who wants to come in here and power to you, but I'm not biting at that number. And I'll wait and I'll wait and I'll wait. We bought our tickets at 5:50 p.m. yesterday when people are desperate. Like, holy shit, I was an asshole. I jacked my prices up and nobody took them. And now I just want to get something, right?
Yeah.
So they come down below, you know, what they were going to cost originally. And you know, if you're patient, and I get it, most people, if you want to take your kid and you don't want to, like, disappoint them at the last minute, you got nothing. Whereas for somebody like me, I'm like, yeah, if we can go, we'll go. If not, you know, we won't. But
we don't go.
So waited for it to plummet and, you know, there's a bit of double birds there to whoever was trying to screw everybody. Before.
Double guns right there in your face.
Where do you want to go next, man? We got a couple things we could talk about here. Cassian and Chera both get suspended.
To me, yeah, that's exactly where I want to go. And it's suspensions in general. And I threw Evander Kane in there. Did you see his?
I did.
Okay.
Screwy, man.
Well, it's not screwy to me.
Okay.
Now, people talk about it and saying, yeah, because to me, have you seen the elbow on Pionk?
Yeah.
That's one.
Yeah.
He drives his elbow right in that guy's face.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Like, that to me is suspendable.
Yep.
So right away, Evander Kane, shut the hell up. That's a suspendable play.
Right.
Now, that being said, remove that. His comments are spot on. I don't disagree with what he said.
Right.
Nobody knows. It's a joke of a system.
Well, why don't you run down for the listener what he did say?
Well,
you know, roughly.
I think I've just paraphrased it.
Okay.
When he talked about the league under George Parros and how some people are suspendable and it's just you're going to get it on track record and other guys don't.
Yeah.
Right? And Chara, the reason is he doesn't get suspended is no track record. You're like, how often do you not suspend somebody because they have no track record? But how many times have they not had a track record that you said, no track record, right. I'm not going to suspend you?
And that was a point that I saw brought up right away on Chara by just fining him and not suspending him. The next time he does this, he's not a repeat offender.
Right.
Like, well, fuck. Like, how do you become one? Like,
yeah. And so to me, that is what it is. And so this is what Kane is saying. He's like, it's a joke.
Yeah.
Parros is a joke. The league is a joke. Nobody knows what to expect except guys like me are going to get suspended.
Yeah. Well, so Zach Cassian, he's got a kick, 7 games he gets, and it was, I don't remember what it turned out, 165,000 something.
It's a good thing it's not on that sweet new contract.
Yeah, no, in salary that he forfeits, and someone pointed out right away, and like, he could have saved, like, if it was $165,000, he could have saved $160,000 if he just cross-checked the guy in the throat like Chara did. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Fuck, man. But one's Chara and one's Cassian, and I think what's interesting here is you're about to see in Edmonton, and I've made this point before, that you don't miss that guy. You don't have to give him $3 million for however many years, 4 years or whatever it was. If the point is that you can drop anyone in on McDavid's wing and be successful, then just do that. Get Jason Spezza at $700,000 to come out to Edmonton.
Unless McDavid's not playing.
Well, there's that. But they're not going to miss Zach Cass. They're just not. And you don't have to pay that guy for however many years. You're not going to come through those 7 games and go, man, we're really missing what he brings.
Yeah, you see people tweet out things, Oilers fans who tweet out things like Nurse and Cassian, you know, they really stand up for everybody else and they make our team tougher. And yeah,
but Nurse can play the game.
This is it. I don't include the two together at
right.
all. To me, Cassian is just, you know, a red nose and a couple big shoes away from
right.
being what he really is now.
Drop Sam Gagne onto Connor's wing and right. off you go, right?
This is a guy in Cassian who was suspended, finished his OHL career under suspension playing for Windsor, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is not a new thing, right? And so we're fine with it, with him kicking Chernak in the chest because nobody was hurt, yeah. right? It wasn't a vicious kick. But, if you are 8 inches higher than that or yeah. 12, and you yep. get that guy in the throat, accident
that's
or not.
Got to be a zero. That, you remember Chris Simon got 30 games.
Stomping.
Yeah.
That's now, a stomp, though.
Sure. And again, maybe a different kind
Yarko
of history.
Rutu.
Right? Yeah. Well, it just anything
with
the blade,
people
man.
A stomp and punch yeah. and slash. Sure. And he bit, I can't remember who that was, a Buffalo guy that Yarko Rutu bit.
Was he not a one-time Sen?
Yeah, he bit him. He bit the saber when he was a Sen.
Okay.
But he goes, the guy put his hands in my mouth. Whose fault is that?
You know what? I almost get that.
For sure. Don't put your stinky glove in my mouth. Yeah. I'm going to bite you.
Yeah. No, it's true.
But to me, that is, I am so sick of the whole thing. And Patrick Kane, Evander Kane,
yeah.
he said there needs to be a third party ombudsman type person
yeah.
to rule on these things. Not somebody who's got skin in the game or has an axe to grind, perceived or not.
Yeah. When we like Chara, so we won't give him anything.
Right.
He's a legend. He's a captain. He's a whatever. We don't like Kane and we don't like
Cassian.
And
he's a good guy if he's not running somebody's
sure.
head into the stanchion or cross-checking somebody else in the throat.
The thing that just cost him a $5,000 fine, pretty similar to the thing that Nazem Kadri got thrown out of an entire playoff series for.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Hey,
Kadri's got a history.
And those 5 games in the playoffs have to be, that's got to be 10 games.
Exactly. What's the equivalent, right? So yeah, like, what are we doing here? But he's a legend and he's a good dude and he's yeah. a whatever, so we don't do that. I mean, but Kane and Cassian, fuck those guys, we can suspend. I heard, I don't know, this would be a couple of weeks ago now, on the Steve Dangle podcast, he said, if you want to leave Parros in there, that's fine. But you know what he is, you know how he played the game and how he made his living. You should all, whether it's going to be in his job or as part of a committee, how about somebody who scored 50 points 3 times in their NHL career? Someone else who's getting by on skill and talent. Well, no more Stefan Kintel.
Wasn't Brian Leetch in there, though, for a while? Wasn't Shanahan in there?
Shanahan was in there for a while, but again, he was kind of a...
For sure he was.
Yeah, so...
He's a lacrosse guy.
But he would fit the mold, at least, as a skilled guy or whatever. But just, can we get someone in there to represent the skilled guys that are getting mowed down by.
How about Chris Pronger?
No. Fuck. Actually, probably would fit the fucking.
Yeah, that's a guy. And I, like I said, and I played lacrosse as a high school age guy against him.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy yeah. fool.
So, but I, you know, someone who's a skill guy, get his, you know, George Parros, he understands what these guys are trying to do. How about someone who understands what Patrick Kane's trying to do? Or
Gallagher. Oh, wait.
Right. We don't like him either, so.
I like him. I'd have him on my
Of course you would. Right.
Heartbeat.
But that's why Chair is allowed to mow him down, right, is he's kind of a shithead.
Yeah. I would also take Brad Marchand on my team.
Yeah. No, everybody wants one of those guys.
No problems. Yeah. Zip right there. That's, thank you.
Loved Naz when he was here, except when he was just playing half playoff series.
Or feeding that Ranger.
Feeding that Ranger.
That guy that he just
punched. Oh, yeah.
Whatever the guy's name was. Again, his name is
Lindgren. Wasn't
I was going to say, it makes me think of the
Jesper
Lindgren. Of the Leaf defenseman.
Oh, Lilligren.
Lilligren.
Yeah.
Lindgren, yes. Who took about 30 shots to the face.
So I get it. If he's your guy, you like him. You like your Gallaghers and your Kadrys and your Marchands and your whatever. But fuck that guy if he's on a different team.
Yeah. But it's garbage. It's garbage that, to me, Chara should be suspended.
Yes.
And I'm sure Chara would be like, all right, I'll take the 3 games.
Yeah, I'm 40 years old. I could use a couple games off here.
I'll rest up and we'll see you in March or whatever the deal is.
No doubt, man.
We'll have a run at this. But that's a suspendable play.
Yeah, for sure it is.
And you can't say Cassian was fast and loose and didn't take care of his skate when Chara, intentionally, with two hands on the stick, goes wham. And it's lucky it caught him in the chin first.
Yes, it is.
Because otherwise, this is way worse. And we've all talked about what a big man he is and how strong he is. And notorious his workouts are, that's just not somebody who you want sort of leaning on your throat with a stick.
Well, I remember in Game 7 last year, Leafs and Bruins, Marchand is into it with a bunch of guys. And so Tavares finally goes back at him, and Chara skates in and wham, one punches Tavares to the ground.
Yeah.
And I think it's
that's
at
a
the
guy who's been on his skates all his life.
Right.
It's not like pushing
And he's not
to
a small
ground.
Dude either, right? So, and you're like, holy fuck. And sure enough, no penalty because it's Chara and Marchand. That's why Marchand gets to do the things he does. Yeah. He's got some guys around him who will take...
With impunity.
Right. But you're looking at it going, okay, like the rules... I think it was at the very end of a period. And so you kind of are waiting, coming back to start the next one going, I wonder if there's going to be a power play. Nope. But...
Yeah.
The different guys get different rope. And I
recall being happy with it.
I'm sure you were. I was less pleased. Sitting in a fucking puddle of sweat and Bacardi on the edge of my couch.
Yeah, Bacardi sweat. Oh, I got Bacardi mist. Gross.
So it's just, I'm getting more and more frustrated too, where it's just, we don't, I complained about it a pile during the playoffs, that the rules are different. The suspensions are different for different players. And you got to treat your stars differently on one side if they're the guys getting hacked. Like, you want LeBron to be able to do his thing, right?
Yeah, which means you don't want him being clutched and held
exactly.
and pulled down.
If he does turn around and punch someone in the face, I probably have to suspend him.
I'm talking to you, Geno Malkin.
Yeah, or Zdeno Chara.
Yeah, because Malkin is a notorious...
He's a low-key, dirty fuck.
For sure he is, like, right? In terms of a guy who's going to hook you, spear you, punch you.
Always a little stick work with that guy, for sure,
and
man.
And then you go, what?
Just
why is there no penalties there?
But I guess my point is more, and maybe you're poking a good hole in it here, is that... I'm more thinking the other way. I don't want the third liner to be able to hook onto him. I want him to be able to go.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, but if he's also the offender, then you're going to have to throw the book at him.
That's
too.
My point.
Yeah.
Is I want to make sure that the Crosbys, the McKinnons, the Matthews,
McDavid,
the Marners, all these guys can do their thing.
There's a guy on Twitter who, after almost every Oiler game now, puts together a little video package of different highlights of he's being hooked down the ice here, he's being whatever here, he's being... And at some point you go, all right, it's a little whiny, but I also get it. Like
happened since Adam.
Right. And at some point they could stop that if they wanted to. They could stop that from happening. Hey, they just don't want it.
How many years ago was it where they had the hooking / obstruction?
Yeah, right after the lockout.
And the face-off infractions. Two of those, you get a penalty. When's the last time you saw one of those?
Yeah. In the preseason, they will always wave you out, and sometimes they'll give you the penalty. Once the games matter, no one ever gets waved out the second time.
Right.
Never.
And so I haven't seen one of those in 2 years.
No.
A penalty off of that.
Yeah.
Whereas it seemed like it was rampant at the beginning of maybe 3 seasons ago.
Yep.
And so those sorts of things, people are like, okay, it's changing and forming new habits.
Exactly.
So I agree. But Connor McDavid and Crosby and those kinds of guys, they've been dealing with that shit forever.
Right.
So you got to call the egregious ones.
I don't know. Connor could put up 200 points if they just get people off his back. Like,
yeah. Well, it's true.
Actually, Edmonton would give him some help too. Yeah. There's some blame to go around there.
Everybody's got to share it except for you, Connor. And I agree
with
that.
You're doing fine.
Yeah, you are doing fine. It's true.
Go, big guy. We'll see you. When's your contract up? We'll see you back here in blue. It's going
to
be awesome.
You can finish. Well, although, yeah, his comments of, it's nice to come to Toronto, but it's nice to leave too.
Yeah, I get it. He's got to play that up a little. Just means his mom's on his back. But
yeah, free tickets or something. Tickets. And I think it's all the things that people want from him. And I get it.
For sure. Do you?
Oh, I totally get it, man.
It's like when Rob rolls into his hometown of Norwood, the publicity's just off.
I don't like anybody phoning me, period. So one is too many. One is too many right away. I like to do my thing.
Right.
I think he's up in 7 more years, 8 more years.
Do the Tavares thing.
Bide your time. It can't be 8 more years.
No.
Got to be 6-7 years. There'll be long years. There's
anything left of his knees.
I was going to say, there'll be hips and everything will just be busted up, but... Yeah, I think he'll be looking for a new postal code by that point.
Awesome.
How's the Percy Templeton treating you?
You know what? It's all right.
I'm finding it gorgeous.
Yeah. Pretty okay. Nice.
Well, you just said all right.
Yeah.
That's like if I cooked you dinner and I said, and you're like,
it's all right.
Hey, it's all right. Yeah, really?
It's vegetable stew. What do you want me to say, man?
You ain't a beauty, but hey, you're all right.
I'd be pumped to get that.
All right.
That's way better than that.
That's true. That's true.
Speaking of just all right, I think you got to look at...
That's a good one, Matt.
Thanks, man. I think you got to kind of start in the central for me here, just as a quick kind of look at the standings. And that used to be a deep powerhouse division. And, you know, at this point, the top three teams are the top three teams. And then there's just...
Yeah.
There's just stuff, right? And to the point where the Minnesota Wild, who had... gone like 7-1 at the time, and they were coming off a shootout loss where you could make an argument that the goal that had been disallowed should have counted, would have given them a win. They fire their coach, Bruce Boudreau. Dean Evason takes over there. It's interesting to see kind of how this is shaking out. Like,
and we shit on the Pacific all the time.
Yeah,
and it's deserving.
And we're not done here. We might yet.
Yeah, but because as you suggest. The top three teams in the Central,
yeah.
Then the next five, including the wild card spots, and maybe even the sixth team, are all Pacific teams.
Right.
So you're looking at Minnesota and Winnipeg now, and Chicago are all sort of, man, as we approach up to trade deadline.
Week away.
It's starting to separate a bit, right, in terms of, whereas that the mediocrity that is the Pacific. Like Arizona rolled here through here late last week.
Yeah, played in Toronto as well.
And they lose to Ottawa, and they I don't know. Ottawa's won 3 games since Christmas.
Yes,
one of them off of Arizona.
Right.
Arizona's won 2 out of 15.
Yeah,
slides. And they're still like just on the right cusp there. Of a wild card spot.
Yep.
Due to like that to me is terrible.
Well,
like,
and
you can go. Ottawa's getting buried in down the standings, but yet. You can post a similar
here
record.
Here comes Boston. Here comes Toronto. Here comes Tampa.
Yeah. Well, this
walking
is it.
Through Ottawa.
Yeah. And when you don't get that, you get Dallas. And
right.
You know, all these other, and you're like, what? Is there no, where's the crap? Why? Oh. If you can't see the crap, hey, you're the crap, man. That's how it goes.
We get some more Detroit coming through here.
Yeah, we've owned Detroit. Maybe some of that sweet Buffalo action. And so... Yeah, that to me is remarkable. And as of recording, Vancouver still tops in that division.
I don't get it. I don't see it. But there they are.
Well,
just continuing to run.
Out. I'm not sure how long term that is.
Right.
Right. But that'll put a little kink.
Well, speaking of stars taking a beating, right? It was Pettersson this past week who got just fucking mistreated in a few straight games. And there was video all over the place of a hack here.
They're treating me so mean and cruel.
Yeah.
Well, and he's about $120.
Right. No, just a wee fella.
Yeah, look at you.
What do you make of the Atlantic at this point? The Leafs get a big win over Ottawa while Edmonton does them a favor and beats Florida, puts 4 points between them there. I think Florida still has a game in hand. Bobrovsky kind of looked like he had sort of figured it out, and now I'm not so sure again. Like, he hasn't had a good year.
Well, and it's looking to me, it's almost like, now we'll see what Toronto continues to do.
Yeah.
They've sort of found a little space. I think they're three up on Florida. Did you just say that?
I thought I said four, but I could be wrong.
Anyways, it's three or it's four.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks, we have, you know, we're
it's void. The Percy Mapleton, goddammit.
We're void of props in here as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you're going to have to maybe win, be in the top three in your division, that the two wildcard spots
yes.
may in fact go to the Metro Division.
Yep.
And so as Florida continues to sort of spin its tires, you know, they seem like they're playing at a 500 clip. If Toronto can get a little space and solidify that three spot.
How about Tampa? The fucking pace that they ran, going to finish first in the division and line up another Toronto-Boston fucking run.
That's got to end sooner or later, though. Right? You got to buck that, right? As the Ottawa fan who went through those yep. four straight, you know, Ottawa-Toronto.
Well, I said it last year. Like, fine, let's do it. Let's slay the dragon. And the dragon just fucking breathed fire all over my stupid face.
Yeah.
Like,
burned my swarthy good looks.
He was not ready to yeah. be slayed.
Yeah, although close.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that is how that's shaping up. And you look at Tampa continuing to just roll. And last time I checked, there was no Stamkos.
Yep.
There was no Kucherov. Sorelli, I think, was out.
Cernak with a gaping chest wound.
Yes. Kick to the stab to the sternum. Hard.
Only guy I'd ever take off my yeah. skate and try to stab somebody
yeah,
with
yeah.
it.
Then you'd be in trouble.
Yeah. Way to go, Happy.
Unless, you know.
Unless not.
Unless you had no previous record.
George Perros says, yes, exactly. That's fine. Go ahead.
So it's interesting. I think you're starting to see some nice separation, right, in terms of.
For now.
Of what's going on.
You're a week away from Leafs losing two and. Florida winning two, and you're yeah, right no, back
no. to... Toronto needs to keep going at a sort of a 600 clip.
Buffalo playing later tonight, and then they have a home-and-home with Pittsburgh.
And yeah, interesting to see the Leafs go back-to-back with Campbell and leave Freddie
yeah.
for the Buffalo match.
Only thing I read into that was Freddie coming off the injury, you know, yeah. give him the extra day.
Well, and Campbell, to me...
It's been good.
Well, and... You're listening to the scouting reports, and Kelly Rudy with his jelly booty was breaking it down pregame and saying, oh, you better stay away from Jack Campbell's glove hand. And I'm like, are you kidding?
Career ECHL.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know what? He's an NHL goalie. You got to give him some respect.
But sure.
This is a guy who's played 8.5 years of his pro yep. career yep. in the minors.
Yep.
I'm not sure if I'm going, hey.
Whoa, I'm letting that guy get
exactly.
in my head.
Yeah. Like, stick to the blocker side and that guy.
And Leafs Nation has been just as ridiculous on that. Finally, we've been stabilized. It's been four games, and he has a .919 save percentage in his first four games as Leafs backup. Hutchinson, .919 save percentage. Sparky, first four games as a Leaf backup, .921 save percentage. So let's just chill a little.
Yeah.
I've been happy with Campbell, he seems likable. The guys seem to dig him, and he's playing well. So good start. But let's just
yeah.
I like the trade. You know that we've covered that before. But let's chill it out just a little.
And he is one of those guys who seems to know his role.
Yeah.
Right. As a guy who has played a pile of time and who was a marquee junior guy.
Yes,
right?
He so was.
Came out with some pedigree. Has had to work and fight for what he's got.
Yeah.
As we said before, had the good season a year ago. Tough to be in LA this time of year, but seems to know his role, right?
Yeah.
And I think a guy like Freddie Anderson needs that, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people say that was part of the problem with him and Sparks is that Sparks has a different personality and
right.
maybe understood in his head that he was the backup, but you know,
wasn't vocalizing it that way.
Won a Calder Cup and
yeah.
And that makes me next in line, so...
Well, people are loving Campbell on Twitter because he just seems like, you know, I'm so happy to be in Toronto, and then it's, you know, that loss was entirely my fault last Saturday when the Leafs got shelled 16-1 in the third period, and you're like, are you fucking... But you're saying the right things, right?
Yep.
And then he came out when Freddie came back, and he goes, I'm looking forward to backing up Freddie, seeing what he can do and showing the guys, you know, how I can help on the bench or whatever. And people are just like, man, this is the happiest fucking guy you've ever seen in your life.
He's Ryan Miller.
He's Santa Claus.
He's nothing like Ryan Miller.
At Disneyland on Prozac. Getting
yeah.
laid.
Like, yeah.
He's just a fucking, you know, happy to...
Getting laid on Prozac, Santa Claus at Disneyland.
That's happy, man. So, you know, you're...
Or it's seedy and it's like a...
Well, there's
a bad porno. I'm not sure what's happening there.
We'll Google that before the next...
Okay.
We may not. Let us know what you find, though, good listener, should you go ahead, but...
Or if you're slightly put off by that, and we get you know, that too. Mental image that just been put in your head.
Yeah. You know, and so people are cracking jokes online, like after he makes a save, now he's back in the locker room fluffing and warming towels for the guys when they come off the ice.
Fluffing.
Right?
Fluffing.
Nope. Nope. Back to Santa Disney.
Fluffing and warming towels.
Small world.
That is that's a great, great day right there.
So, you know, it seems to be a good fit thus far, but yeah, let's just... chill it. How do we get on to Jack Campbell?
Relax,
again?
Everybody.
Oh, good. It was going to be Campbell against Ottawa, Freddie against Buff.
I like normal took it from wherever we were talking about and talked about whatever popped into my head, which was what that was.
Sure. So it's interesting across the board. The Pacific, it's still cramped, but it's turd. The Central is not cramped at all, and it's kind of a mix of some really good and really bad. The J-Bo thing last week was scary as shit to watch.
For sure.
So we'll see how that impacts them. I know he's not what he once was, but he, you know, was still a contributor there.
Yep.
We'll see what that does to them. And then, over in the Atlantic and the Metro, the way that appears to be shaking out is, and I think... I think I had 4-4 in our preseason predictions, but it does look like it will be.
I think we both had 4-4. Yeah. I had Pittsburgh missing at 5.
Yeah.
Also worth noting in finishing up here.
Yeah.
Habs up 3-0 on Dallas last night.
Right.
Saturday night, whatever night that was. And they lose the game. That is another one of those things where you go, Habs fans. Don't you get it, son? You suck. You lose again. And so, you who think that you're pushing for a playoff spot and you're going to ride Carey Price.
A week ago, as the Habs beat the Leafs in overtime, from a loyal listener.
A friend of the show?
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Telling me that the Habs were back in the playoff race. Biggest overtime win of the season. All right.
Okay.
Let's see. And
bet you that guy's got a comb over and a little Frenchman mustache.
Nothing to say about that. We love all our listeners.
Yes. Especially. Probably. Hey, just in closing on this.
Okay.
And I keep saying that.
Yeah.
With Willie O'Ree and Black History Month, and he rolled through here about a week ago, they had him on local radio. And as that interview was wrapping up, one of the guys on the radio said, as somebody who played in the 50s, who was better in their prime? Jean Béliveau, Gordie Howe. Honestly, Willie O'Ree waited a nanosecond and said Gordie Howe, hands down.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
He didn't elaborate. He didn't.
You don't have to. If you're making your point that.
Yeah, do you want to think about that, Willie? No, clearly not.
No, it's Gordy.
It's Gordy. So that's just another shot at you Habs fans, right?
All right. That's a fun way to finish the show.
Thank you, man. I bring it. Okay. I'm bringing it.
You can give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram. We're at TallCanAudio or Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. We will be back later in the week with some baseball talk, man. It's spring. Spring training is open. It's been a debacle in multiple cities so far. We'll touch on all of that maybe later in the week. If you got stuff you want to hear us talk about, you can always send that to, like I said, Twitter and Instagram at TallCanAudio. We'll get out of here on that note, and we'll catch you on the next one.
See ya!
We're not going to be fucking sunk this year! Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.